Leif Segerstam, the colorful Finnish conductor and composer, passed away at the age of 80 in October last year. In their remembrance of him, the Listeners Club described Segerstam in this way: eccentric and larger than life, with an exuberant podium demeanor resembling Santa Claus, Segerstam embraced music with a childlike enthusiasm. He served as chief conductor of the Helsinki Philharmonic Orchestra from 1995 to 2007, and later he held the title of chief conductor emeritus there. He held similar positions with the Danish National Radio Orchestra and the Austrian Radio Symphony. As a guest conductor, he appeared around the world and developed close and lasting relationships with ensembles such as the Philharmonia Orchestra. Comments Segerstam made during rehearsals, such as a direction to keep the fermata, or pause, of the rest interesting, were so quirky and memorable that a list of quotes was compiled. Record producer Robert von Baar described Segerstam as a completely unique person with a passion for food and life. Von Baar writes, "He was a totally unique figure and possibly the most talented musician I have ever met. Pianist, violinist, composer, conductor, recorder player, and tenor. Segerstam won the most prestigious piano and violin competitions in Finland, with 2 weeks in between. Wake him up in the middle of the night and ask him to tap out metronome marking 88. He did it. He could read any score like today's newspaper. He jumped in for Aho's flute concerto at a moment's notice and just conducted the immensely intricate score with meter changes every second bar like it was nothing." Legendary for his comments, when a musician playing a repeated figure in one of his symphonies asked how many repetitions he should play, Leif answered, "Until I look at you stoppingly. The world is poorer without him, much poorer. I miss him." That from Robert von Baar. Leif Segerstam self-identified as autistic later in life, and many feel that Segerstam's neurodivergence seemed to fuel his boundless imagination and non-linear thinking, helping him break free from traditional constraints in composition and conducting. His music often defied formal structure, instead favoring spontaneous expression and emotional immediacy. That from the Listeners Club and other reports after Segerstam's passing. There is a growing body of research exploring how classical music can positively impact individuals with autism spectrum disorder, and Jason Goldschmidt, executive director of the Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic, has been following these studies over the years. That's why he is so pleased to announce the orchestra's very first sensory-friendly performance that will take place on Saturday, September 13th at the Pittston Memorial Library. Jason Goldschmidt stopped in at the WVIA studios to talk about this event and its importance in the community.
The Philharmonic is very excited. We're putting on our very first sensory-friendly concert. So this is going to be a sensory-friendly chamber concert that we're calling Sensory-Friendly Winds, Music, and Color. So this is Saturday, September 13th at the Pittston Memorial Library in downtown Pittston. We are going to be running this program twice, once at 10 a.m., and once at 1 p.m. It will be 45 minutes in length, entirely free for the public, and we are extraordinarily excited. We received a very generous grant from Autism Awareness NEPA through the Luzerne Foundation to allow us to be able to present this event for the community. This will be a wind quartet, so it will be flute, oboe, clarinet, and bassoon, with a really engaging program that involves so many local partners in the community that have all worked together to really make this as valuable as we can make it for those with sensory needs and their families.
And we know that an instrument like the oboe used to be out there calling out on the field with soldiers and in battle, so the winds aren't always soft and gentle. They have quite an amazing range as well as the other instruments. So what does that mean for the players in picking music?
So I want to give entire credit to Karen Birch Blundell. She's one of our oboe players in the Philharmonic, and she is the lead teaching artist for this particular event. She has done such a fabulous job in terms of putting together a program, in terms of spearheading the collaborations with music therapists, with visual art therapists, occupational therapists, amongst all of our partners, to create a program based on her expertise in terms of teaching artist work, to create a program that is varied in the types of music that it provides, in highlighting the variety of the different types of wind instruments, exactly what you had just mentioned, where you have the flute, the oboe, the clarinet, and the bassoon. In many ways, each of those instruments are just so different from each other. And so it's a great way to explore music. It's a great way to explore the nature of instruments in a way that is a more relaxing environment, because music has such powerful mental health benefits, engaging, especially live music, and such powerful social emotional benefits as well. The challenge with most concerts is that with sort of what you might call social expectations that are associated with many concerts. You have to sit, you know, and remain quiet for long stretches of time, clap in very specific moments. You have, okay, well, now we have a very specific length break, and then we go back to the music. Often it's very long, and it's so incredible to share the music with the public. But you have many, whether they're on the autism spectrum or their families or others with sensory needs, who might find that concerts are too long, or they may need the flexibility to maybe not have to sit the whole time, or to experience and engage with the concert and with the music in a manner that best suits them. And so that's what we're really aiming to do, is to deconstruct the concert experience. And the Cosgrove Room at the Pittston Memorial Library is a really fantastic space for this, because it's not too acoustically resonant, so it's has very nice acoustics. It's a very flexible space, so there will be chair seating, there'll be floor seating, but people can sit, they can stand, they can walk around, they can leave the room, they can come back into the room as they wish. So there's all this flexibility that we've built into the program. We've built the program a little shorter than what we might otherwise present on our chamber series, but this way it allows people to experience it as works best for them. And we will have sensory headphones, so that for those who maybe need a little bit less auditory stimulation, they will have those as an option. Some of our partners are bringing in little fidget devices as well for those who need tactile support. There will be snacks involved. There will be resources for families to learn more about what different organizations have at their disposal for resources, especially for the autism community. There will also be art activities with art therapists from Marywood University, and some of those will happen in an adjacent room at the library where we'll be piping the music in, but it will be an opportunity where people can do something expressive while they're listening to the music. And we'll also encourage those who might need a little bit of a break to go to WVIA's really fantastic sensory-friendly corner that just launched in the library this summer. It's a really lovely space with all sorts of books and resources and little flexible seating arrangements. So for those who maybe need a little bit of a break from the music, they can go there. If the weather is nice, fingers crossed, we will also work to stream the performance out into the outdoor amphitheater, which is just outside, so that if families want to be on the playground or they just want to be outside and walk or run around, they can still enjoy the music. So it's all about creating different opportunities to match the music with the color. We have music of Debussy and Fauré and Scott Joplin, but also we're exploring Flappy the Flamingo. And, you know, we have a little bit of Star Wars on the program and some nursery rhymes. And it's just a little bit of something that for any age, for those who are maybe very, very young, or those who are of, you know, any age in terms of children, and even adults can really, we're hoping, will really enjoy this program, especially for those who might have family members or might have children with certain sensory needs. And so therefore, it's challenging to find a type of event that the whole family can go to. And so that's what we're trying to really create here with this.
You have anticipated so many of the needs or the challenges or the likes of families as you've just described them, and make everybody feel comfortable and have that live experience with music.
Absolutely. And so that's really the goal of what we're doing, and especially with Karen Birch Blundell, our oboist and lead teaching artist. We have our musicians taking part in this, Barbara Hopkins and Christine McDonald and Melissa Kritzer on flute, clarinet, and bassoon, respectively. We have Marcel Sinclair, who is joining us. He's a recent graduate from music therapy department at Marywood University. He will also be working with Karen to help facilitate the program as it goes and lead the audience, guiding the audience in terms of where the music is going. And we're very excited to be working with him on this. We have music therapy students from Marywood University. We have art therapy students from Marywood University. We have occupational therapy students from Misericordia University, all of whom are here volunteering their time for this to interact with audience members, to help audience members, and to help them best experience the performance in a way that works for them. And we are so fortunate to have as partners, in addition to Autism Awareness NEPA, which has provided us the grant for this, we are also very grateful to the Pittston Memorial Library for providing us the space to be able to put on this performance, to Children's Service Center of the Wyoming Valley, to Misericordia University and Marywood University as well, Autism Society of Northeastern Pennsylvania, the Gregory Center as well, and of course WVIA. All of these partners, it's just been so thrilling and so humbling to have such enthusiasm from so many different organizations for this event. And we're so grateful to have the opportunity to put this on for the community. And we hope to be able to do more of these in the future.
You have a background that is not just as a musician, as a composer, as an administrator, but you have also been studying and very active in trying to understand and bring to light what you've described about the power of music and our mental health, our well-being. What's happening on that level, the research level? Things are coming out every day, aren't they?
Absolutely. So I will start just with autism specifically, because there's so much research that has been really fantastic in that regard, especially out of Vanderbilt University and many others around the country, that has shown that the use of music and music therapy for those on the autism spectrum can help significantly with social emotional learning, can help significantly with communication, with language skills. So you can use music therapy with young children on the autism spectrum who may have delayed speech development. And music therapy in many cases can help to speed up that development, or even help to develop that speech, help to develop communication skills, help to develop bonding skills and social interactive skills. And there's so many other similar types of research that's going on all over the country. Fantastic research out of Northwestern University and out of the University of Southern California around the use of music for education, and just 2 years of musical training in schools leads to measurable impacts on the brain and on neural structures that can be seen on brain scans. You see significant improvements in terms of academic scores, math and reading scores, significant improvements also, again, in social emotional learning, in attention, in concentration, and looking at over, you know, a 2 to 5 year span of engaging with music for those in school, that you see not only academic improvements, not only social emotional improvements, but also you see kids more likely to stay in school, improved attendance rates, improved attention in other classes. And so there's just so much power in music, such really fantastic research on early childhood impacts with Vanderbilt, with Mount Sinai Beth Israel in New York City, and so many other places that are looking at for those, yes, on the autism spectrum, but those of all children and all sorts of experiences and backgrounds, that music has such incredible power for learning and for attention and for how we interact with the world.
What do the musicians say when they get a chance to be part of a program like this?
Well, I will just say in terms, I know our four musicians are really looking forward to this. This has been a particularly meaningful experience for Karen Blundell as well. This has been a real passion project for her, and we're so excited to be working with her and to have musicians in our orchestra, such fantastic musicians, but also those who are so excited to be in the community doing things like these sensory-friendly concerts and library visits with our Once Upon an Orchestra, where it's live music with story time and performances in schools and in public parks. We are so fortunate to have such community-oriented musicians. And I think that it's something that's so important for our community, and we're so grateful to have. And it really wouldn't be possible without so many of those in the community, so many of our fantastic and amazing supporters for this concert, the Autism Awareness NEPA and the Stepini Foundation for our chamber music series, but also so many other supporters of all of our educational and community programming throughout the year. And there's, you know, far too many to name right here, but we're just so incredibly grateful that there is so much support here in Northeastern Pennsylvania to bring music to the community in so many different ways, everything from schools and libraries and senior center visits to sensory-friendly concerts to other types of arts and health experiences that we're developing, and to free tickets for community members in need. And so we're incredibly grateful. And without the support of our patrons, our audience, our supporters, and our many, many, many nonprofit partners who themselves are doing such amazing work in the community, this all wouldn't be possible.
Where can we find information, Jason?
Yes, so you can call the Pittston Library. So this is 570-654-9565. The Pittston Memorial Library is handling registrations for this event. And there's also information on the Philharmonic's website and on our social media pages as well. Again, this is Saturday, September 13th. It will be free for the public, and it will be run twice, the same program run twice that day, once from 10 a.m. to 10:45 a.m., and another from 1 p.m. to 1:45 p.m. Again, there will be live music, there will be music therapists, there will be art activities with a visual art therapist, there'll be all sorts of fidget devices and sensory headphones and other types of interactive aspects to this, and it'll be also essentially be a great resource fair too for those families with individuals with sensory needs or on the autism spectrum to learn more about what resources there are in the community as well. And these events are completely free.
Jason Goldschmidt, Executive Director of the Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic, speaking about the upcoming sensory-friendly concert. You're invited to join the Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic Wind Quartet for a free concert for the whole family, designed with sensory accessibility in mind. As Chasen told us, it's an interactive program on music and color, featuring fun music by Claude Debussy, Scott Joplin, John Williams, and more. You are invited to sit or stand or move around wherever you would like to be to listen to the music. You can take a break at WVIA's sensory-friendly corner or take part in creative art activities in the library's STEAM Lab. And this is all Saturday, September 13th. Two different times to choose, 10 a.m. or 1 p.m. And it's a 45-minute program. And again, it's all free at the Pittston Memorial Library, 47 Broad Street in Pittston. And to register, and you should register because you can imagine that the space will be limited. So it's area code 570-654-9565, 570-654-9565. The Northeastern Pennsylvania Sensory Friendly Concert on Saturday, September 13th, 10 or 1, at the Pittston Memorial Library on Broad Street in Pittston, and music of Debussy, Scott Joplin, John Williams, and more. And you can even take a peek at WVIA's Sensory Friendly Corner. Or check the website, nepaphil.org, nepaphil.org.